where he is from. The man answered and said to them, "Why is this a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from? Yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does not and does his will, he hears them. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered and said to him, "They were completely born in sins. And are you teaching us?" And they cast him out. Mahani.
This is an interesting passage that was just read for us in John 9, 28 through 34. It expresses about as well as anything the way that evolutionists handle evidence. Now, we're not saying that the Pharisees were evolutionists, obviously, just that they and the evolutionists have a lot in common when they consider evidence. They reject it if it disagrees with their presuppositions. That is, things they have already decided, things they have already formed an opinion on, and they're not going to let evidence get in the way of those opinions. The Pharisees had already decided that Jesus was not the Son of God. They had already decided that. And they refused to allow the fact that he opened the eyes of a man born blind to sway them to an opposite view. So they just rejected it. They made inquiries. How did this happen? Tried to figure out some sort of explanation for it. Eventually, in verse 29, they said, "Well, we know that God spoke to Moses, but we don't know anything about this Jesus, where he is from." And the blind man, who had no training in religion, just simply used common sense and said, "Well, here's an amazing thing that you don't know where he's from, but he opened my eyes." In other words, has anybody ever heard of something like this occurring? No, not since the world began has it ever been heard that a man opened the eyes of one born blind. So it's amazing that you haven't figured out who he is, or that God is, he has favor with God, because God could only do such a great and powerful thing as that. So the man finishes by saying, "If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." Well, this is so obviously true that they had no reply for it. So instead, they did what evolutionists usually do today. They insulted him. They make the conclusion, "Well, you were altogether born in sins. And are you trying to teach us? You don't know anything. You don't have the training we have." And so they cast him out. They just, in other words, concluded that he was ignorant. Does that sound familiar as it pertains to the evolutionists and the way that they deal with creationists? We had a couple of instances yesterday in which data was analyzed and double-checked to make sure that the dating of certain artifacts was correct. And then when they told them that these were dinosaur figurines, they all of a sudden said, "Well, our testing probably wasn't valid." That's the kind of attitude that some people have. They will not consider what the evidence says because they have these presuppositions. Whether it's the idea that man could not have been created, that he had to come from evolution, or whether in Jesus' day that there's just no way he could be the Son of God. So everything has to fit with their thinking rather than what the facts indicate. Well, this morning we want to deal with some evidence as it relates to cavemen, missing links, and the fossil record. And so you can cut the lights and we'll begin to do that. What about ape men, cavemen, fossils, missing links, and the Bible? What about all of these things that you have heard about and that we all have heard about in the course of our lifetimes? Well, pretend you're in school and the teacher says, all right, it's time for a test. It's time for a pop quiz. I'm going to show you a picture and ask you a question. All right, there's the picture. The question is, what is missing? What did this used to be? And so you might put your imagination to work. Could be part of a cue ball, I suppose. It, you like to play pool or basketball or a golf ball. How many think that it used to be a figure eight, maybe? Okay, how about a donut that somebody ate the middle out of? What about a circle? Did it used to be a circle? So what is missing? The question is, how do you know anything's missing? Just somebody suggested to you that something was missing. What made you think of it? Would you have thought of that on your own, or was it kind of put into your head by somebody asking what was missing in that? Well, when people start talking about missing links, that implies that something is missing. Incidentally, something that has never been found. Has anybody ever thought that maybe there wasn't anything missing? But it's put into our heads that something was missing. Maybe nothing is missing because there never were any missing links in the tree. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. This is true not only spiritually, but people are going to be misled in the physical sciences if they do not have adequate knowledge. And so that's why we want to take a look at a few things this morning. Also, we ought always to consider what the evidence is, whether physically, historically, archaeologically, or spiritually, especially when we go to the Bible. We ought to be thinking about what does it actually say, not what do I want it to say, but what does it actually say? What is the truth? And the only way to do that is to do what's suggested in 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. We go to where the evidence is and we learn what the evidence is, then we're able to defend what it says. And that's the only proper way to go about this. Now, evolution has postulated a lot of things, a lot of apes, a lot of ape men, a lot of stuff like what you see on this chart. But the question is, what is the proof? Not what is the story, but what is the proof? What is the evidence? According to evolution, mankind has only been here a very, very short period of time. The earth has been here about 3 to 5 million years, but the part in yellow is only the recorded history of mankind. So that's the evolutionist timeline. The Bible has a different timeline. And by the way, that is very precise, as we mentioned yesterday. In Genesis chapter 5, you have a very precise timeline from the creation to the flood. And we know that to be precisely 1,656 years. So you can see these two timelines vary considerably. The Bible says man and monkey were created the same week, actually the same day. But evolution has this sort of evolving thing over long, long periods of time. But here's something we ought to consider. What is really at stake? What is the real battle? Notice that on this it says, basically, that if creation is true, and if God created Adam, as the Bible says that he did, then there is something that follows. And that something that follows is that absolutes come from God. Moral values come from God. God sets the rules and provides the standards by which we live. But what's the opposite of that? If God did not create Adam, and if we got here by evolution, then I think I touched something, Jeff, if you can stop that. I don't know what it was, but it seems to be going really fast. I guess we went into hyperspace. We're really flying now. Okay. Anyway, if without God, we don't have standards. We don't have anything objective. Ah, thank you. All right. I'm going to be careful not to touch anything except what I'm supposed to here. All right, what we want to talk about, a little slower now, is evolution's Hall of Shame. 3 years before the Scopes trial, it was a Nebraska man was allegedly discovered. Now, this wasn't actually used in the trial, but it was on everybody's mind as that trial took place. And so we have artist concepts of what a Nebraska man and his wife look like. And this actually appeared in Illustrated London News in 1922. All of this came from the tooth of an extinct pig. But look at that picture. If you see that, you think, oh, they have found the missing link. Well, this proved not to be a missing link. There's the real Nebraska man. But you may not see that in too many places. As we look at some other things in evolution's Hall of Shame, we have Piltdown Man. And there's a sketch of what this creature looked like. It was found in 1912 in a gravel pit in Piltdown, England, hence the name. However, 41 years later, it was discovered that it was a hoax. It combined the lower jawbone of an orangutan with the skull of a fully developed human, and then they tried to present this as a missing link. Well, it was just parts of two different creatures, is all that it was. But for 40 years, people were convinced that, well, here's an evidence. It's got to be evidence of a missing link. But it wasn't any such thing. By the way, Piltdown Man was used in the Scopes Monkey trial. Now, as we go on, there's a Orca Man. They discovered some things pertaining to its brain that they thought were very revealing, but for many people it was quickly rejected because it was too old by evolutionary terms. In 1982, they announced that the fragment belonged to a human child, and some overeager scientists reconstructed an entire human, the oldest fossil ever discovered in Europe. But to the embarrassment of many, the bone was identified as the skull cap of a 6-month-old donkey. No missing link there. And such has been the case with many of these that have been discovered. It's Hollywood's version. It's the evolutionist version of what actually happened. It's not science. This, they would like it to be so, but these things are not so. Let's look at the way that people sometimes sculpt these things. You have a few bones, and you eventually get a picture, an idea, and the bones do not tell you all this information. Sometimes ape fossils are exaggerated to look more human when the construction is, when the artist conception comes about. And so you may see apes that look very human-like and very loving of one another in that picture. Well, let's look at Java Man. Java Man was classified as a member of Homo erectus, walked upright. In 1891, fossilized tooth was found. A month later, part of a skull was found. A year later, a thigh bone about 15 meters upstream was found. So we had a leg bone and teeth that were human. The skull cap eventually was shown to come from a giant gibbon, not a human being. Oh, well, so we find a few, four so far, representations that are not what they were originally billed to be. But what about today? Well, How Apes Became Human, still being done, Time Magazine, July 23rd, 2001, A New Hominid Discovery. How Apes Became Human. You can read all about it. Of course, you should ask yourself if what you're reading is true. Only 6 bone fragments and a few teeth were behind this one. Stood upright, walked. Page 59, a tiny fragment of a toe bone. And guess what? That toe bone proves that it walked upright. Well, that's what they found. Here's a picture of, that's what they claimed. Here are the bones that were found. And this little one is from the toe. And with these bone fragments, they determined that he walked on 2 legs. There's an adult human. Were these all from one location? These few bones took researchers 5 years to collect. And they came from 5 different locations. But it was all one creature, you see. And they varied in age by hundreds and thousands of years. But we can't let things like that get in the way of the presuppositions that people have, can we? If they determine that it's an ape, then these little facts don't really matter to them. Again, it's a kind of a Hollywood construction, a fairy tale, not science. Can you tell the difference? This is kind of along the lines of, are you smarter than a 5th grader, I guess. I can think, compose music, build bridges, fly airplanes, and make computers. What can you do? And he's thinking about eating a banana. There's obviously a great amount of difference in apes and human beings. Now, the one that you probably have heard about the most recently is the famous Lucy. What you're looking at are all the bones that were discovered. All of them. That was it. And from that, we have constructions. Okay, that's one construction. Creation Museum put together a hologram of where the actual bones fit, so you can see how little we actually have of Lucy in that. These are all different conceptions of what Lucy looked like. Given the bone structure, these are all possible constructions according to the way some have decided to do it. I wonder how they know the difference in hair from the bones. Or maybe the red hair just came from the I Love Lucy television show. I'm not sure. But nevertheless, these are different ideas of what Lucy looked like. And as you can see, there's lots of different ones that come along. Short arms or long arms? Lucy's bones are subject to interpretation, as you can see from the chart. It's not a complete skeleton. She was unearthed in 1974, and that shows you the part of the world where that occurred. The Pensacola News Journal, September 5th, 1999, showed the site where she was and has a paleontologist, Donald Johnson, with his tamed skeleton named Lucy. He said the femur was angled, proving Lucy was becoming a human being. But where is the evidence for all this? Tree-climbing monkeys have had an angled femur. They're not becoming more human. Lucy's knee was slightly bigger than a regular ape's knee. The bones of a Clydesdale are slightly bigger than a regular horse. So what does that prove? Big horses and little horses exist today. Don't try riding the small one. Now we go on to more representations. The St. Louis Zoo has Lucy on display with human hands and feet. No feet or hand bones were found. The purpose of this display is not for education, but for what? Indoctrination. They want young people to see these things and be indoctrinated in this type of thing. There were the original bones again, and all of that has been constructed from those things. The statue is a complete misrepresentation, and I believe they know it is a misrepresentation, said Professor David Minton, Washington University. Zoo officials have no plans to knuckle under. We cannot be updating every exhibit based on every new piece of evidence. We look at the overall exhibit and the impression that it creates. We think the overall impression this exhibit creates is correct. We think it is. Okay? That's not true. It's, again, a fairy tale. It's Hollywood, not science. Is this how she was found? All right. This empirical evidence of anthropological dishonesty or fraud regarding Lucy is as follows. Those bones were not found in the shape that you see. They were found otherwise. Can you detect all of the changes? Look at the skull and the jaw bones. How many ribs? Whoa. Don't have the same amount, do we? Five ribs, seven ribs. How do you explain that? Ribs up, down, finger, bones, spinal column, head bones, and all of these. None of these authenticated skeletal displays of Lucy are exactly the same. But how do you figure that? Because Lucy is a jackalopian composite, a fabrication of several hundred pieces of disarticulated and separate bones of possibly more than one individual skeleton, which may not be hominids at all. But you don't always hear this information. This, again, is Hollywood, not science. Lucy has recently been dethroned, according to Donald Johansson, in the March 1996 issue of National Geographic. One said, I was trying to jam evidence of dates into a pattern that would support conclusions about fossils which the fossils themselves could not sustain. Again, this is what we were talking about in having presuppositions and trying to fit together the actual evidence into the presuppositional mode. And here's one who admits doing so. There are not enough fossil records to answer when, where, and how Homo sapiens emerged. All of the so-called cavemen are dealt with in this book. You might want to get a copy of that book. Luther Sunderland asked evolutionists what evidence they had for their theory. The British Museum of Natural History has the largest fossil collection in the world. When the senior paleontologist was asked why did he not show the missing links in his book, he said, "I fully agree with your comments on the lack of evolutionary transitions in my book. If I knew of any fossil or anything, I would certainly have included them in the book. I will lay it on the line. There is not one such fossil." Senior paleontologist said that, admitted that. There are no missing links. The whole chain is missing. There simply is nothing there. You can't go from A to B without a road. And the road is missing. It's not there. The absence of fossil evidence for intermediary stages has been a persisting and nagging problem for evolution, Dr. Stephen J. Gould admitted in Evolution Now, page 140. Again, it's not science. In Romans chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, a passage that we've all often read, that starts out professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And giving up the worship of the true God, they began worshiping idols, four-footed creatures, birds, beasts, and that is all that this amounts to with evolution, basically. If you find a fossil in the dirt, you know one thing for sure, it died. You don't know if it had any kids. You sure don't know that it produced different kids. Why do evolutionists claim the bones in the dirt can do something that living animals cannot do? And that is producing after their own kind. Where does the Stone Age fit into the Bible, somebody might want to ask. The only Stone Age was after the flood when they got off the ark and faced a devastated world. There's the timeline between the beginning, Adam, and the flood, as we mentioned before, 1,656 years, and there it is all on a chart, but you can do that yourself from going to Genesis chapter 5. The people after the flood could not go to the hardware store and buy a hammer or shovel, or a lot of the tools they may have already developed prior to the flood, so they had to make them. No hardware stores? Many cultures today make and use stone tools, still do. And if that's all you've got to work with, that's what you do. Have you been evolutionized? Do you talk about prehistoric animals or prehistoric people? You know, I've always thought that was kind of interesting. If it's prehistoric, how do we know anything about it? I mean, what history is there if it's prehistoric? How do we have any information? And yet there's a guy. In the dictionaries, the word prehistoric did not occur until after the theory of evolution. Here's one from 1776. The word prehistoric does not fall between pregustation and prejudice. It's just not there. There's no such thing as prehistoric. 1860, Webster's Dictionary, another one. No word, prehistoric. You can scan through it, look through it, you don't find it. Again, the idea of prehistoric is not science. That's Hollywood. The flood buried the world. So let's summarize then. Nebraska man, Java man, etc., all of those did not actually exist. Nebraska man and his wife, as shown there, as we showed earlier, came from the tooth of an extinct pig. Piltdown man was a fraud. Time magazine. Are they presenting new material or just the same old thing that they presented before? These few bones took researchers 5 years to collect, as we already pointed out, from five different locations and vary in age from hundreds to thousands of years in age. There's past errors that are still used. Lucy is claiming to be something today, but it's already been dethroned. Professing themselves to be wise, they've become fools and engaged in wishful thinking rather than scientific study. The St. Louis Zoo has Lucy on display again with human hands and human feet. This is indoctrination. This is not science. Fossils only tell us that if you find a fossil in the dirt, you know it's dead. It died. Some fossils were exaggerated to look more human. Some conceptions are to show something more of a human nature. Again, though, this is not scientific. Didn't some men live in caves? So what about cavemen? Textbooks are filled with references to half-savage cavemen from whom we supposedly descended. What can we say about those teachings? Well, cavemen implies that they were nearer to apes, that they were really, really old. Does where something lives prove what it is related to? A man who lives in a cave is no more half animal than a dog is half human who happens to live in a house. Yeah, some people lived in caves. There were probably reasons for living in caves. Maybe for protection. Maybe because it was cooler, especially in desert reasons. But just because they lived in caves doesn't mean that they were half human and half animal. Again, why do most scientists believe in evolution? Well, because they're taught to. Emotions oftentimes override logic. Same reasons that denominations exist. Not because you go to the Bible and find a denomination there, because you don't. But it's because they have an emotional attachment to a denomination that already exists. People generally tend to believe what they are taught. So when they are taught evolution, that's what they generally tend to believe. And remember, as we said at the outset, without God, with evolution and without God, there are no standards, there are no absolutes, there are no values. And so you're free to do whatever you wish. Well, as you can see, some people would like to believe they're animals because they get treated better than human beings do. Remember, though, not science. Is evolution stamped into your brain? It may be if you've been using words like prehistoric and millions of years and things of that kind. Okay, thank you. Many missing links have been invented or forged, as we've already said. The evidence for the others is scant and depends a whole lot on the artist's sketch. Plus, we have seen that sometimes bones have been taken from different locations, from different beings, aged at or dated at different ages, hundreds of years, maybe even 1,000 years difference, and combined to make it look like what people would like it to look like. All of this changes. You know, you can read a science book from 20 years ago or 50 years ago, and you'll have change after change after change after change in it. But the Bible has stayed the same all this time. It hasn't been changed. The scriptures are certain. There is no guesswork. The author of the Scriptures, God, the Holy Spirit who inspired the Scriptures, has been here from before the creation. He knows all about the creation. And we have some things concerning the creation. Likewise, Jesus was attested by miracles, signs, and wonders, which were recorded so that we could believe, John 20, 30, and 31. Although many people reject the evidence. But you know, there's a reason why people believed in Jesus in the first century. Why would anybody want to do that? Because they like fiction? Because Jesus didn't really exist, but they all said, hey, wouldn't it be fun to make up somebody mythological? Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense, especially when they had to die for being disciples of Jesus. So, why would anybody want to believe his claims, though? I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am going to be the judge of all mankind. Jesus said all of those things. Why would anybody want to believe that? Why would anybody believe that? Because of the evidence of the miracles that he did that could not be denied except by some of the most hard-hearted individuals and dishonest individuals that ever lived. The people believe the truth. But wait a minute. Why after even all that? Why when he was crucified like a common criminal, how could anybody possibly be interested in a person like that? Because he was raised from the dead. And the evidence was presented. The evidence for his resurrection was presented by eyewitnesses who saw him after he had been raised from the dead and who convinced them that the Scriptures foretold his being raised from the dead. Peter on the day of Pentecost goes back to some prophecies, some things that David said about you will not leave my soul in Hades or my body to be corrupted, and showed that this was fulfilled in Christ in that he was raised from the dead. That's why people believe. Do you suppose today if somebody made claims like this that anybody would pay attention if he didn't have compelling evidence to believe him? You know you would not. If somebody was taken and arrested and thrown in prison and tried and executed, would you be willing to follow that guy? Of course not. Not unless you had a compelling reason to do so. But that compelling reason was there, and Christianity spread throughout the world. And it did not spread throughout the world by violence, but by love, adherence to sound moral principles, and by being willing to be put to death for what they knew to be true. This morning, if you have never obeyed that gospel, the invitation is still out there for you. You may not be certain about a lot of things in science. You can be sure of scientific principles that have been established and proven, but you can't be sure about scientific theories because they change and come and go. But there's one thing you can be certain about. This hasn't changed. We're preaching the same message today that Peter did on the day of Pentecost. When people want to know what to do to be saved, the answer is still the same. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we find that in Acts 2:41 that there were 3,000 who believed what Peter said and were baptized into Christ. And they were added to the church, as was read earlier for us at the Lord's table, Acts 2:47. You can do that also. This has irrefutable evidence that has convinced people for 2,000 years of its validity. Science, well, true science is valid. Theories, not reliable. Why not live by what you know is the truth? If you need to answer the invitation today, why don't you come? If you already have but have not been faithful, why not make that different today? And don't leave here as you may usually do so, but repent and start anew with God and with Jesus Christ, your Savior. If you need to, come while we stand and sing.